And the two brethren responsible for speaking to us tonight is her brother, Mr. Jonathan Blake from London, and her brother, Malcolm Radcliffe from Rathfeilin. And they're going to speak to us in that order, and we now leave the meeting in their hand.
Now, could you turn, if you have a Bible, please, to Jeremiah in the Old Testament, Jeremiah and chapter 8. Jeremiah and in chapter 8. Just for one verse, Jeremiah and chapter 8, and reading from verse 20, Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Note those two words, not saved. Now I turn to John's Gospel in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and chapter 3, John's Gospel, and chapter 3, John's Gospel, chapter 3. This is now not the words of Jeremiah, but the words of the Lord Jesus. Verse 16, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Note those last three words, might be saved. Now finally, in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts and chapter 16, we've had the words of Jeremiah the prophet and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we have the words of a Roman jailer. And we're going to break in at verse 29. "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Now we do ask God to bless the precious reading of his word. Now we are glad to see everyone here this evening, and some of you I know, some of you I don't know. But what I want to speak to you this evening on is just the word saved. Saved. You'll have observed that in the readings from the Bible, that word has been mentioned in the three different readings which we have referred to. And I want simply to think this evening, first of all, of the great discovery that someone can make, and that is to find out and realize that they are not saved. The prophet Jeremiah looked across a nation in which there was nothing for God, and he wrote over that nation, "The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved." But thank God the gospel message goes a lot further than a realization that you're not saved. Because this evening in John's Gospel and in chapter 3, we want to discover the reality and the reason why you can be saved. You can be saved. And those blessed words that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Maybe in the meeting this evening, you have a wrong view of God. Maybe it is that you do not believe in God. Well, can I tell you this evening that we have a great God? There is only one God and one mediator between God and men. And he is a God of love, a God who loves you. And he is not a God who looks down and wants to see every person in this world banished to hell and the lake of fire. That is not the God of the Bible. But he is a God who has sent his beloved Son into this world. Why? That you might be saved. And then in Acts in chapter 16, we're going to go even further, because we discover there the reassurance that you can be saved and that you are saved. Maybe there's someone in the meeting this evening and you're really just not sure where you stand. I trust that this verse will be of comfort to you and that it will reassure you that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible, God's word, declares, thou shalt be saved. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's wonderful to stand here this evening and to know of a certainty that we are saved. I meet some people and they think they might be saved. But you know, God wants every individual to be 100% sure that you're saved. You might say, well, I'm new to all this. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be not saved? Why is it that you preach and that you raise your voice to tell us that it's dangerous not to be saved? Maybe for you, it's towards the end of this summer and you're looking back and you've enjoyed the summer and you've had a good time this summer. You've spent time with friends, spent time with family, and you've traveled to different places. I don't know your circumstances. Maybe for you this summer has been a bad summer. Maybe as you look back on the year, your life has sunk to an all-time low. Maybe as you sit in this meeting, you're broken. Or maybe as you sit in this meeting, you're just content as you are. But whatever circumstance you find yourself in life, I want to ask you the question at the beginning of this gospel meeting. Are you saved? I did not ask you, are you baptized? I did not ask you, do you go to church? Do you go to a gospel hall? I'm not asking you, are you religious? We're not here this evening to preach religion. But we're here to establish, first and foremost, are you saved? Is there a time in your life that you can go back to and you can say, yes, that was the day when I was saved? My friend, I want you to ask yourself that question in your heart in the quietness of the meeting. Boys and girls, in this meeting, I want you to ask yourself the question, am I saved? Oh, I know you maybe go to Sunday school, and that's good. I know you know verses of Scripture, and you know it's the Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. But I just want to know this evening, are you saved? Don't worry about the person beside you on the seat. They maybe don't know what's going on in your mind. They maybe don't know the circumstances of your life. But there's one in heaven who does know. And you know his interest and his longing desire for you this evening is that you might be saved. God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. There's not one person on planet Earth that is outside the desire and the longing of God that they might be saved. But if you're not saved, can I tell you that you're in danger? Because this whole matter of salvation and whether you're saved or not saved determines whether you'll be in heaven when life is over. And if you're not saved, you'll be in hell and the lake of fire. If you are saved, it's an impossibility for you not to occupy a place in heaven. Amen. I'm glad that I'm saved tonight. But you know, there was a time in my life when it could be said of me, not saved. Not saved. You say, why is that? I thought we were all Christians. I thought we were all born on the way to heaven. No, my friend. We are all born on the way to a lost eternity and hell. Why? Because of something called sin. It's not something, it's not a word that you will find on the front of the newspaper today. It's not a trendy word. It's not a fashionable word. But I want to bring before you this afternoon the fact that your sin before God means that you are born into this world and you're not saved. And so you must be saved because of your sin. God says all unrighteousness is sin. Boys and girls, do you realize that you're a sinner before God? Do you realize that your sin will keep you out of heaven if it's not forgiven? If it's not cleansed, you will be lost for all eternity. God uses different words in the Bible to describe the situation and the condition of the sinner who is not saved. He describes him as lost. Are you lost this evening? Are you headed in the wrong direction, away from God and towards hell and the lake of fire? Because remember, that's where you'll end up if you're not saved. Oh, this evening that you would get located and understand that before a holy God, you must come face to face with your sin. We're living in a world that wants to cover sin up. We're living in a world that wants to dress sin up. We're living in a world that wants to package sin. And they'll put it on a screen and they'll sell it. And they'll call it entertainment. They'll call it fun. But God calls it sin. I was speaking to a lady recently. It's amazing the people you find who tell you that they've never sinned. Asked her, had she told a lie ever? She said, I've told a white lie. See, we like to minimize sin. We like to look at others. And we like to think that they're worse than us. That they've done things that are wrong that we would never do. But it's absolutely essential to discover this evening that there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And no matter how you might like to dress yourself, God looketh on the heart. Man may look on the outward appearance. And so as you sit in this gospel meeting, I care not who you are or where you're from or what you profess to be, but what I'm interested in is this. What about your sin? What about those secret things in your life that no one knows about? What about those thoughts that your husband or wife cannot see? What about those things that you read, that you look at, that you try to cover up? What about that internet history that you delete, trying to cover up sin? My friend, you will never be in heaven without coming face to face with not only the seriousness of your sin and realizing that with your sin there is a penalty. With your sin there is judgment. And because of your sin, over your head lies the wrath of God. John tells us, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That means currently, this evening, if you are not saved, you are in danger of hell. Why? Because the wrath of God lies upon you. You say, well, I do know the seriousness of my sin. I realize I've sinned before God, but is there forgiveness for me? I stood last Friday night before two men, homeless, sleeping rough. One called Jonathan, the same name as myself. The other called Jason. Two ex-soldiers from Afghanistan. I said to one of them, "Are you saved?" He replied, "No, I'm not. I can't be." I said, "Why is that?" "Oh," said he, "I've pulled the trigger three times. There can be no forgiveness for me. No forgiveness." You know, I was glad I could turn to 1 John 1:7. "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin." Oh, I'm thankful for John and his gospel. I'm thankful for John and his letters that tell me that while it is a good thing to discover and realize that I am not saved, that I am on the way to hell and the lake of fire, that I can be saved. And thank God last Friday night I was able to open the Bible before that man and read him those lovely words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you're not saved, you're perishing. That's another word that God uses for those who are lost, those who are not saved, those who are in their sins perishing. Oh, but the very center of this gospel message is that you can be saved. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. You're condemned already, my friend. God has sent his Son into this world that you might be saved. What about it, boys and girls, men and women? You can be saved. Why? Because the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's why tonight we don't preach about some church. We don't preach about some religious creed, but we preach about a person. And his name is the lovely name of Jesus. Do you know why he was given that name? The Lord Jesus was given that name, for he shall save his people from their sin. And I know in context that refers to the nation of Israel. Thank God we can look to the Middle East tonight, and there's people there in darkness, in despair, and they can be saved. But right now, I'm concerned about Larne and this company that is before me. Thank God there's many here who are saved, many who can sing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see." But what about you? Let me tell you tonight about the God who loves you. How do I know that he loves me? People often ask us in the street, if God is a God of love, why is he going to send people to hell and the lake of fire? Can I tell you, my friend, kindly, you will never, ever end up in that awful place and be able to say that God did not love you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And we see his love displayed at Calvary. For the Lord Jesus came not only to be born, but he says, the Son of Man, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." What door are you trying to enter this evening to be saved? It's not the door of good works that will save. It's not the door of baptism that will save. It's not the door of turning over a new leaf and trying to give up bad habits that will save. The only way that you can be saved from the power of your sin and the penalty of your sin is through the Lord Jesus. For he said, "I am the door." Do you know when the Lord Jesus said, "I am," we should sit up and take notice. He said, "I am the door." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said, "I am the bread of life." Are you seeking satisfaction in your life this evening? You'll never have it without first being saved. And that can only come through the Lord Jesus, who suffered and bled and died upon the cross for the only way that salvation from sin, its penalty, and its judgment could be effective for you is that the Lord Jesus Christ would be judged for your sin. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, he died upon the cross. You know, the world doesn't really understand the cross. They think that it's just a man crucified upon a cross, and the Romans nailed him there, and you know, he died just a pathetic, sad death. I want to tell you this afternoon that the Lord Jesus Christ died a victorious death. His death was different to every other death, for he had the power. We learned it today. He had the power to lay down his life and take it again. Listen to what Peter says. Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Can I rephrase it? Christ suffered once and for all, the just for the unjust. That means that there's enough in the death of Christ to save you and to save me. Why am I here this evening claiming that I'm saved? It's just for this reason, that I can say with Peter, who his own self bare our sin, bare my sin in his own body on the tree. See, there's many people are not content with what Christ did upon the cross. They want to try and add something to the death of Christ. They want to add their works, but it's once and for all. Never needs to be repeated. Never needs to be added to, nor can it be added to. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the reason why you can be saved. You discover that you're not saved. You discover that in the death of Christ, you can be saved. But you could discover all that and never be in heaven. You say, what must I do to be saved? Listen to the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Who is going to save you this evening? You say, well, it'll be my believing. No. It's not your believing that will save you. It's Christ. Why? Because he was the one who suffered for your sins. He was the one who not only died, but rose again and lives. And that's why you can put your confidence and trust in him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you probably will be saved. No, that wouldn't do me. I wouldn't like to go into eternity based on the word probably. I'm glad tonight that it says, thou shalt be saved. And it's the Word of God. And while my feelings might change five times a day, the Word of God never changes. I can depend upon it yesterday, today, and forever, because my faith is in Christ and he alone can be saved. The realization that you're not saved, the reality that you can be saved because Christ has died, and the reassurance that you are saved, the Word of God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May you be saved tonight in this meeting for his name's sake.